And I'm Beth.
And this is Everything is Rent, a podcast where we talk about the very best musical of all time. It's Rent, you guys, song by song.
Yes, and today we're talking about a seminal track from Rent called... What is it?
On the Street.
On the Street. And with us, we have a very special guest. You know her from Oh No, Ross and Carrie and Hidden Mickeys. It's Carrie Poppy.
Hello.
Welcome.
It's not the best musical of all time, but it's good.
All right. Well, okay.
We beg to differ.
I don't even have another one in mind. I'm just like, that can't be it.
I mean, if you don't have another one in mind, I think we're right.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
It's a real right. Put up or shut up situation here.
Xana, don't. No, I don't know. I mean, Hamilton's better than Rent.
Oh.
Well, you know,
it's good.
A lot of people would agree with that. However, it's hard because it wouldn't exist without Rent. And so then we're deep into that conundrum.
Sure. Right.
But I guess you can still compare them.
Yeah, but like, then it's like, okay, whoever sung the first note, that's the best musical. Because yeah. We wouldn't have all these other ones.
I agree. Whoever sung the first note
is the best musical yeah. of all mm-hmm. time.
Yeah. The thing about that, I was singing before Rent existed. So
oh,
I guess
so you're
I'm
a
the
better
best musical.
Wow. Well, you're a better musical than Rent.
Yeah.
But whoever sung the first note is the best.
Is the very best.
That's right.
All
some
right.
Flutist.
We settled it.
Was the flute the first instrument? Probably more like a rock against a wall.
Yeah, I mean, percussion was definitely the first instrument, probably. But wind?
Yeah, wind.
Wind instruments
oh, wind
are...
is the best musical.
I was talking about wind instruments, but you're right.
Okay,
wind is the best
musical. Wind itself? Colors of the Wind. Pocahontas.
There we go.
Pocahontas uh-huh. is the best musical.
Alan Menken. There we go.
We okay. solved it.
So,
is that Alan Menken?
Hi. Yeah, it is?
I
don't know.
So. Little Shop is better than Rent too.
I disagree.
It's very good, but I think Rent is better.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, yeah. Rent's good. It's good. Hi, everybody. I like Rent. I'm making it sound like I don't, but I do.
Came in hot. A lot of opinions about Rent. Okay. So yes, what's your relationship with Rent?
My relationship. Whew, okay. Well, I loved it when I first saw it as a middle teen. It's probably like 15, 16 when I first saw it. Mm-hmm. And my sister was living in New York City and I went out to see her and she said, let's see a Broadway show. And I had never seen Rent, but she had, and she said, Doogie Howser's in it, which she was not at that point. And so we did the, what's it called? The lottery.
Yeah.
Where we paid like $20 and got front row seats.
Yeah.
So great.
And so I got to have that experience where you've like never heard the music and you sit front row seat at a Broadway show. It was pretty great.
Wow.
And Matt Kaplan was playing Mark,
mm-hmm.
not Doogie Howser. And but he was amazing. And I immediately had a crush on him and found out that he was a Christian and I was a Christian teen. No longer
right?
a Christian
yeah.
or a teen. and so, yeah, I just like fell head over heels for this actor.
So many musical theater actors are deeply religious.
Is that true?
Yes.
I guess that makes sense.
If you look mm-hmm. in the bios in a Broadway, like in a program, in a playbill, so many of them thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like if you're a dude in musicals, you're Christian or gay.
Mm-hmm.
Or both. You can
yeah,
be both.
Sure. Yeah.
But I don't feel like I mean any like straight atheist male theater nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm sure there are. I mean, I certainly
no,
know
name
some.
One. Oh, name
well.
A single.
Is Josh Gad religious?
Because
he's a musical theater actor.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I think he's,
okay.
I don't know what his orientation
yeah.
is,
yeah.
but maybe Josh Gad.
maybe Josh Gad. There we go.
You should get him on the show.
I think Josh Gad is married to a woman with kids.
Okay.
Oh, okay,
so now there we just need to know if he's religious and then yeah. we answer the question.
We'll give him a call.
but yeah, so I loved it mm-hmm. is the point. And yeah, then like I remember telling my college boyfriend, I'm going to be in Rent one day. Just you watching me Rent one day. And my very cool college boyfriend was like, no, you're not.
Because what a trash.
Will Crew.
Awful.
He was like, I mean, just the odds aren't good. He's very practical about it, looking back. And you know who was right? Will Crew.
So far.
Yeah.
Was he, were like any role? You were just like chorus, whatever. And he was like.
I think I was like, whatever. Yeah.
He was like, not even ensemble.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
wow.
I mean, he was right.
Sure.
But it was mean.
But were maybe he was right because he said no, and so it put it into your mind.
Yes. No, that's possible.
So you thought, I can't do it.
Yeah, it's possible.
That dude sucks. I want you to prove him right.
We're going to get you there. Next time Rent is revived on Broadway, which I feel like might happen in the wake of the Rent Live.
Yeah.
Right. It might be time for it to come back. Mm-hmm. 25 years will be 2021 or something.
Wow.
Right? 2016 was, 1996. Yeah. So maybe that's when you'll be in Rent on Broadway.
Yeah. Probably.
Were you doing musical theater
in
college?
I was even thinking on Broadway, though.
Oh, just Rent.
Just ever, all, anywhere? Any
Rent. You can 100% be in any Rent ever. Rent.
I could probably just put one up. I could buy out a theater for a night.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
For $100.
I mean, we talk a lot
constantly
about
talking about
Rent
how we're
going
to put it up.
So okay.
You can be in it.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm an okay singer, a very bad dancer, and like a B+ actor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. All right. You'll be the dance captain.
Great.
Were you doing musical theater in college?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
What, like what?
I did a lot of children's theater. We did The Apple Tree. Mm-hmm. No response for the Apple Tree.
I don't know the Apple Tree.
I believe I saw that. Was Kristen Chenoweth in that on Broadway?
Maybe.
If so, I have seen it. If not,
I only know about the University of the Pacific production circa 2003.
I think I saw that now. Okay.
I did a lot of musical theater in high school and then more straight plays in college. But let's see, in high school, my first one was The Wiz, which I believe you were into.
Yes, I played Evelyn in The Wiz.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Was it a bunch of mostly white kids?
I was the only white lead.
Oh, wow.
The Wicked Witch was white. And then, I went to a fairly diverse high school.
Oh, well,
and
okay. So that's more appropriate.
Yeah, Dorothy, her mom / Glinda, The Wiz himself. The four, like Tin Man, I think they were all black actors.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
At my high school, which was in like a very white suburban town, there was one person of color in the whole cast.
Who were you?
So The Wiz was probably not the right choice.
Yeah.
I was Emerald City Citizen number 3.
Thank you for asking. Yes. What's that song? They all welcome, like the welcome to, I was in that too, in like the chorus, wearing all green and dancing around.
Yeah.
Emerald City. It's just called Emerald City.
And he lives in Oz. That one.
There's one. Maybe it's just a dance that welcomes everyone to Emerald City.
That's. Oh, can you feel a brand new day? That's.
I mean,
the end,
that's
isn't it?
That's towards the end because that's when everything changes.
I love the big opening number that it's just dance and like Guys and Dolls has like a big
Runyon Land. It's called Runyon Land.
Really?
Yes.
Great.
Oh,
I had no idea.
Huh.
Where there's like, you see the watch, like the pocket watch being stolen and passed from person to person. And you see like everyone's hustling and bustling. There's a nun, which I played.
It'd be fun to put on a musical of just the musicals within other shows.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Then I was in Bye Bye Birdie. I was Susie. Then I was in The Pajama Game and I was in the chorus. And then I was
Pajama Game. When I saw on Broadway, I was shocked. I'd never seen it. And there's a song that's like the Pajama Game is a game we play.
It's a very bad musical.
So
definitely worse than Rent. And then my senior year, I was in The Music Man and I was Amaryllis.
Ooh, that's
and
good.
I can still play that song on the piano.
Yes.
I had to learn that.
Amaryllis is also one of the main parts of the Wells Fargo Wagon song. Yep. That's a good part.
No big deal.
It feels like a big deal.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess.
You're bragging. It's crazy.
I was only 18.
You were playing a like 10-year-old high school senior.
Yeah.
So you're a huge musical theater fan / actor / all of it.
I was really, really into musical theater for several years. And now I feel like I couldn't name you like any modern musicals besides Hamilton.
Yeah, I've also fallen off in that regard.
I have a little bit. I worked at a place in New York that gave discounts on theater tickets to like companies as part of their benefits, which is not the craziest benefit of all time. But so I was constantly, I got to see shows for free and got to just had to like know about them and talk about them.
Oh, that's great.
So through 2011, when I last lived in New York, I knew all the Broadway stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I feel like, much like with music and just other things, like stuff gets kind of locked in your high school through light post-college years.
Uh-huh.
And that's the stuff that you're obsessed with forever. Yep.
Yes, I'm still stuck on obviously Rent and then like Ragtime.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, okay. Wicked.
Wicked never got to me. Oh, I've never seen it. I only know a couple songs from it. My college friends, two of my best friends in college went and saw Wicked. One of them was a huge fan of the book. And both of these guys are like huge, huge musical theater fans to this day. And it was right when Wicked opened, or maybe previews, and they hated it and left at intermission. And they were like, the show is going to be a flop.
Right after Defying Gravity, they left.
Whatever, I guess.
Yeah,
they were like,
with Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth.
I believe that would have been the cast. And they were like, this show's going to flop. We hated it so much. I wonder if they left or just wanted to leave. Whatever it was, they hated it.
Wow.
Shout out to Jack and Ben for being very wrong.
Are they the kind of people who would be like, I hated this, just to show how much they know about the book?
I don't know. My friends and I in college generally hated every piece of art because that's what you do. Sure. We would like, just like that's see important. It and then shit on it. Mm-hmm. But I think for Jack, it was about knowing the book super well and having those expectations. And then I don't remember what Ben's opinion of it was.
I did read I read the book before I saw it and still loved it.
Yeah.
But with any time you read the book and then you watch something, you're like, actually.
Yeah.
Like I read Jurassic Park before I saw it and was like, oh, nice. It's different, but I loved it.
That's the dumbest.
It truly is so dumb. I remember talking about it in class. I was like, well, I did read the book beforehand. So that's what my book report is on. Jurassic Park, the book. That's
I can't even insane. Remember the movie.
I did a book report too.
On Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great book. Everybody,
yes. It actually is a good book.
Chime it in.
That's crazy. There's half the people in this room have done a book report on Jurassic Park. Book.
Have you read it?
The book?
The book.
No, no, no.
Oh, it's pretty a good book.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's got a lot of good stuff about chaos theory that didn't make it in the movie.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I read the book.
I mean, sounds like your book report's forthcoming.
Yeah, you got it.
Anyway. What was this Neil Patrick Harris misunderstanding?
Right. So my sister saw Rent when it was in L.A. before she moved to New York, and so did Rent.
Mm-hmm.
And Neil Patrick Harris was in it then.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then she just was like,
he must still be in it. He follows it across the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a doctor.
But the guy who played Mark was still Matt very, Kaplan. Very great.
So great.
Yeah.
So great. And he had a very thick Brooklyn accent that he tampered down for the show. But then when I met him backstage, he was like, oh, wait, this is my Brooklyn accent.
So you went backstage.
Yeah, well, not back. Behind the theater.
Door, yeah.
Yes, the stage door.
Ooh, what was that like?
Cool. Oh, it was cool. I mean, it was clear that he met a million teenage girls, you know, with flutters in their hearts for him. So he's just like, sure, we'll take a picture. Great. I want to go home.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fun.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. But yeah, I was really, really into Rent. So I still think it's good, but it's sort of emblematic of like, I don't know, a fight that's always going on in my soul between like, oh, this artist really went for it and they're loving life and it's this beautiful thing. And if I can get there emotionally, that's going to be more rewarding. And this is very cheesy though. You know, it's like, it depends on whether you can get there in that moment to appreciate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So whether I like Rent that day probably says more about me than about Rent.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So. It's like a mood test for
you.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It is very, and we talk about this a lot, it's very 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Which feels cheesier now than it did then, but I think to me, it's still not cheesy. I still love it so much.
Well, good. See?
It's a perfect musical. No,
you're more emotionally stable.
Yeah, you're just always in the mood to take in Rent.
Yeah. Not every song, always.
Yeah.
Sure. The Millennium song.
Yeah.
No, thank you. What You Own.
Oh, yeah. What You Own.
I mean, that's like the most dated of all the
songs.
That's
a no thank you for you?
Really?
That's one of my favorite songs.
Wow, a lot of eyebrows went up right now. yeah.
Is that your least favorite?
Ooh.
Of all the songs?
I think so.
Wow.
Oh, I did not think this would be a contrary opinion.
What You Own is not my favorite, but because I don't like the first half very much, but the last half I love.
Okay.
And
I'm not bifurcating in my mind. What's the difference?
Yeah. What's the difference?
Because it starts out like, the first part is very cheesy. It's like,
the filmmaker cannot see.
Yeah. And the songwriter cannot hear.
Right.
It's like, I don't know. It's kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
But at the end, you get into like these layered melodies and it gets like deeper and more intense. And that's where I'm like,
there's a key change. Yeah, oh, baby. I'm living for that key change.
So is it more a musical thing than a lyric thing?
Yes.
Okay.
For me.
Okay.
I love dumb lyrics for sure. I'll eat lyrics. Dumb lyrics all day. I will eat them.
yum, yum. Dumb lyrics.
The filmmaker cannot see and the songwriter cannot hear.
Ironic.
Yes,
ironic.
It's crazy. Is it see? I sort of just pulled that out of my butt.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
yeah.
the lyrics. Mm. I love it. I love Mark and Roger's relationship. Yeah, Angel's voice is in my ear. Mm-hmm, oh, mm-hmm. It's so good.
I don't know. There's just like all that stuff about like the millennium.
Yeah.
It's just, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's very 90s.
It's like, I thought we'd all agree on this, Robbie Williams.
right.
Yeah. Just that like light, God, what is the melody of it? We're living in America on the edge of the millennium.
At the end of the millennium.
What did I say?
The edge of the which is pretty cool.
Listen, that's a cool lyric. It's pretty cheesy and
I feel like I should probably co-host this now.
I do wonder if like a producer at some point, if Rent could have been changed, would have been like, this dates it too much. Like take this out.
Yeah.
However, I love it.
Here it is.
I don't mind the lyric history. End of the millennium.
And your problem is the lyrics or the music or both?
I guess it's the lyrics. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I have a problem.
What's your deal?
but I guess it's the lyric. Yeah, just that's the one that feels the most dated to me and the most, I don't know. The theme of it is like, you aren't your belongings, I guess, which is correct.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. a little obvious.
Yeah, but Rent is a little about obvious. Rent's a little yeah, bit it's a little obvious. Yeah.
And like I said, you got to go there.
You got to go there.
They went for it. Will you follow?
Do you have a favorite song?
Maybe Take Me or Leave Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe. The only song I have ever sung at karaoke. And only one time.
That boggles me.
Did you sing it with someone?
Wouldn't that be sad if
you sang it alone?
Both parts. With someone, with another woman named Carrie. So how can you top that? Was another woman named Carrie.
Did you play Maureen or
Good question. I don't even remember. Here's what I do remember. It's my friend Michael Hyman's birthday. Mm-hmm. And he went to a karaoke bar and everybody was doing karaoke. And we said to him, like, as a present, we'll do the lesbian song for you.
Oh.
It was the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we got up and, like, neither of us could find the tempo. I'm going to throw her under the bus and say it was her. We were just all over the place. It sounded so, so bad. And after that, I was like, I can never do this again.
Were you trying to be sexy with it?
I think so.
In a song that's about two people fighting.
It's a very sexy song. This is like the song that's like, this is what you sing to each other before you fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
The seminal pre-sex fight song.
The sexinal song.
Yeah, the sexinal song. But also, the two original people that it was written for who sang it are two of like the best vocalists. Like,
yeah,
it's not easy for me.
Correct.
I'm not saying you'll never be in Rent, but
it was so terrible. I mean, it truly was sort of traumatic. I remember that night, like talking to a guy I barely knew and being like, "You'd have sex with me, right?" And he was like, "Yeah, Carrie."
Yeah.
It was a bad night. It was a bad night.
Can I take it back to you've only done karaoke one time ever?
Yeah. Well, actually, as I was saying that, I thought of a time I sang like backup for one other person.
So you've been to karaoke, like you've been in the vicinity of karaoke more than once?
Oh, yeah. I've watched.
Okay.
Yeah,
you only performed
karaoke.
One song and it was a scarring moment.
Yeah. It was.
I love karaoke.
I can't believe they
so
had
much.
That song. What a
oh,
weird.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, I feel like I've seen it performed before.
At karaoke?
Uh-huh.
All right.
You're
well,
like, mid-2000s,
I guess I
a really terrible version at this bar in the valley.
Because also.
Yeah, you were like these two women who
both
kept calling
dare.
It the lesbian song.
They were trying to be sexy, but I don't know what was happening there. Because I have rented a karaoke room like midday during
rent.
The week. Rent. Everything is rented in a karaoke room. Dave, you like that? And just sung like with one friend and just sung songs for like an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
More than one time.
Huh.
I love karaoke so much.
I only like karaoke when strangers can watch me do it. And that's the truth.
I will tell you the best karaoke time. I love all karaoke, but my family went on a trip to like a scuba diving resort in Honduras. Which was real fun. And they had a karaoke night at the resort. And we were like, oh my God, we're going to go. Cause my sister's a musical theater performer and I love singing. And I'm also an actor and whatever. but we, the karaoke night started and no one was going up. So I think either me or my sister went up and then followed by the other one. So we both sang songs and then no one else went up. They just made us perform all night. So
yeah.
My sister and I,
fuck.
My dad got up there once or twice. But it was just my sister and I performing.
For strangers who thought you were incredible.
Yes, this
okay,
was
so
their
they,
night
was
of entertainment.
It's so
wow.
fun.
Uh-huh. I did that in a bowling alley in the Hamptons one time.
Were these like glory moments for you? Do you remember this with fondness?
Yeah, it was fun. It was like mildly embarrassing because it was like, we will keep singing if no one serious. Because we would
it
like
embarrassing, or was it like oh,
no?
So,
they loved
I
it.
Mean, we loved it.
I'm batting my
for
ponytail
sure.
to get yeah. my point across.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
they yeah, it was loved great. It. So that's yeah. the kind of karaoke I'm into where you can impress a stranger. Just being in a room with your friends feels bad because you like start singing and then everyone loses interest in your song.
Yeah,
and
that's
starts
what it
like talking to each
like.
Other and then you're
oh,
just
no, I
like
love that.
Left out of their like conversation, but you have to keep standing in the front of a dark room and singing this
right.
song.
I like going to karaoke with people who like karaoke because they just they don't want to have conversations. They just want to sing along. Well, you're on the microphone.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
then you hand the microphone over and then you sing along while they're on the microphone.
They always oh, lose right. interest at some point during a song, though.
There's times.
Because every song is longer than you think it is.
Yeah.
A long, long time ago. Yeah. Does anyone do that?
Here's a 12-minute song.
People yeah. still sing like that in Bohemian Rhapsody
sure.
and stuff
cool.
like that.
Good for
but
them,
it's
I say.
Like, it's too long. Yeah.
I did go on a cruise 2 weeks ago where they had the voice of the ocean on the cruise. So it was like The Voice, a singing competition.
Oh my God.
And then the judges would turn around in those
no.
chairs and like pick a team. And everything.
Oh, that's
and I wanted to
rude.
Audition for that.
I feel wait, like why? Someone's going to get their feelings hurt.
I'm blown away by this. This sounds
yeah,
incredible.
It happened. And I wanted to audition for that. But my boyfriend, Drew, wanted to go to trivia. And
he's wrong and you're right.
I know. No, actually, we went to an entire first round audition and I was like, I just want to watch this time and then I'm going to go to the next one. And I'm going to audition at the second one.
Oh.
And then he was like, are you really? Because let's go to trivia if you might not. And I was like, and so we went to trivia.
So did the whole show take place within the course of one sitting? Like auditions?
No, you're right. I didn't make that clear. So there were three nights when you could enjoy The Voice of the Ocean.
Oh.
to audition nights where there were no judges, and just the audience would like vote on who could make it to the finals. Oh, okay. And then the final in the big stage of Caribbean Princess.
Yes.
In front of Gavin McLeod.
Who?
Oh my God. Captain Steubing familiar. From The Love Boat.
Okay.
And Marie Slaughter from The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Okay.
Obviously.
Sorry. Yes, of course.
The stand-up comedian who was booked for that cruise.
Uh-huh.
Whose name I don't know.
Right.
And the woman in charge of casting for that particular princess boat.
So if you won, you could potentially become a permanent cruise ship performer.
Unlikely.
Honest, I mean, I'm so obsessed with the idea of having a reality show happen.
It was really great.
The
it was
voice
really
of
good.
The ocean.
Because also not just one night, that it's like over the course of multiple nights.
So Sarah, you don't like this idea. You think someone's feelings will be hurt?
Right. I do feel like so, because like you're on a cruise, you're on vacation. You don't want to get shut down. Like, I feel like if there, especially like, I don't mind like audience voting and things like that, but to be singing a song, you're on a cruise, you're on a vacation, you're having the time of your life, you're singing a song and no one turns around for you is so like heartbreaking.
That didn't happen though. There was no one who sang and no one turned around.
Okay.
Because there were only six singers and three judges.
Okay.
And every judge can have like 2 to 3 people on their team.
Okay.
So
are you happy now? Now that we've watered down the competition.
Okay, fine, I'll audition for it. Okay, I'll become the star of the ocean.
The voice.
And I'm singing both parts of the ocean of Take Me or Leave
Me. Perfect. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it was good. Anyway, Rent's good too.
Okay, well, I think it's time
to
listen. Speaking of all songs being too long, here's one that no one could accuse of being too long.
No.
Let's do it.
So this is a scene between homeless persons and the police and Mark.
Yeah, Mark and Collins and Angel.
And a police officer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here comes a squeegee guy.
Honest living, man. Feliz Navidad.
Great sound
Big
effect.
Laugh.
Big laugh.
A great song.
Also, the first mention of Santa Fe so far.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, is it?
And this is the background music for Santa Fe. Like, the
Santa Fe shows up in so many musicals that don't take place in Santa Fe.
Officer Martin.
I can't stop.
Wow, Mark.
Also, Christmas bells are ringing in Santa Fe.
Yeah, why?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe there, but
maybe.
Where aren't Christmas? You don't think?
It's just like Christmas bells are ringing out of town, Santa Fe.
Yeah.
It's not the first place you think of.
Here she is.
I'm a bleeding heart cameraman. My life's not for you to make a name for yourself on.
It's true, though.
Hate that on. On. It should just end after yourself.
Trying
to use me to kill his guilt. It's not that kind of movie, honey. Let's go. This lot is so motherfucking honest.
Yikes.
Big laugh there.
Artist. You got a dollar?
Oh, shit.
I thought not.
She called you out?
Yeah.
You got called out.
It's hardcore. It's definitely just a song that advances the plot and has...
It is, but I have so much to talk about.
I mean, it's chock full of gems.
Ugh. Yeah, well, it's a very interesting look at, like, how does art actually help society if you're not even helping society while you make the art?
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
And then it's also like these sort of privileged people standing up for themselves at this in this art, you know, like Maureen's doing about to do her performance piece, not even acknowledging that there are people who have it worse
live
off
there.
Than them and live there.
Yeah,
it is interesting. Yeah. This lot is full of motherfucking artists.
Yeah.
And it's just a woman trying to live.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I really like the moment where she asks for a dollar, because that's where you have a little push and pull of like, oh, maybe she would, if he helped her, like she might soften up. And then he just confirms her suspicions.
Yeah.
I'm not going to help you. I'm going to photograph you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Also, where is your release form, Mark?
You actually don't have to do that if it's on public property.
Okay.
I went to journalism school.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No, that's true.
Okay, so he didn't need an appearance release from this
doesn't.
Homeless woman. But
if he's going to submit that to Vice, they're not going to accept it because they will not accept photos or videos of homeless persons.
Yeah.
So all right.
Please take note.
That's good.
Well, that's why he has to work with Alexi Darling.
Right. She'll get him in.
Yeah. So yeah, we have, let's see, we got our Christmas bells are ringing theme here with our
out of town Santa Fe. The first place you think of when you think of Christmas bells.
Yeah, that's so weird. So I take that to mean that because it's the people without homes singing the first lines, right?
It's like street-ish people. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I know that in the lyric booklet, one person is named Blanket Woman.
That's the angry lady.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So I took that as like, we know it's Christmas time, but we don't get any of the trappings of Christmas because of our lot.
Yeah. And it's fun. Like the starkness of the music there is fun where it's like this cute little melody and then it just drops out somewhere else.
Yeah.
Out of town. Yeah.
I think it is interesting that musical theater in general has decided that the opposite of New York City is Santa Fe.
Yes.
Totally. Yes.
I mean, I think that's true.
Probably.
I've never been to Santa Fe.
We haven't either.
I'm from the Southwest. I've been to Santa Fe. Are you kidding?
I didn't know.
What? You can't live in Colorado and not have been to all the parts of New Mexico.
Tell us about it.
Santa Fe is a magical place with no rats and no cockroaches and no homelessness.
And you can unionize your newspaper there with no trouble.
Yeah, that's my main impression when I went to Santa Fe was all the newspapers were unionized. And it just wasn't even a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a very chill, cool, nice place. Obviously, there's every single problem that every other city has, but I was there as a tourist and I stayed in like an Adobe, bed and breakfast. Mm-hmm. And they got Frito pies, open a bag of Fritos and pour some chili in and eat that. That's a Santa Fe
cactus
thing. Yeah. I mean, it's just like a nice, I think Denver, it could be Denver too, but all the songs need three syllables. Mm-hmm. So like, I think that they're fairly similar cities.
How about Sedona? I've been to Sedona. Is it like Sedona?
Yeah, sure. They're all the same.
Okay. I like Sedona.
Yeah.
It's really wild.
Yeah. And Taos is like the real artist colony.
Taos?
T-A-O-S.
I've never heard of it.
That's like it's there's a place in Texas that I'm trying to think of that's similar. That's just like artists.
Austin, Keep It Weird?
No. Austin, Keep It Weird? No. Marfa?
I don't know.
Marfa?
Oh, I've heard of
Marfa. Are you just saying sounds?
No, you got Taos. You got Marfa. But like Taos would really be the place. It's like the polar opposite where it's just an artist colony. And
is this also in New Mexico?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's closer to the Colorado border than Santa Fe. But I agree. I'm on board with the idea that Santa Fe is where you would go to be not in New York.
Well, you have all the information and we have none, so we have to trust you.
Yeah. Believe me. What else can I lie to you about? So Marfa.
Sure. This place called Marfa, we've all heard of.
Named after Marfa Washington. Marfa Waffington.
It sounds like it'd be the name of like a metro station. Like, we got to go hit up the Marfa. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's because of Atlanta. Theirs is the MARTA.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
We have now
figured out what's happening in my brain.
And then, we got our squeegee man appearing. There's a bunch of different musical themes in this that come up later because we get our honest living guy repeating that later. This is all the Santa Fe underscoring in this.
And we're just about to get into Santa Fe.
But what is an honest living, you know?
I guess
honest living. Yeah, not selling drugs.
Yeah.
That must be what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and also not being an artist, maybe. Like, is that an honest
living? Like working for your money. Right. Mm-hmm. Squeegeeing.
Right. Yeah. Because that's like, see the squeegee
that's
person.
That's more work than
like,
I've done at some of my jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true labor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's some officers about to commit some police brutality.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
but
Mark
stops
like, them.
I have a fucking 8mm camera.
Yeah. Smile for Ted Koppel.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says the officer's name. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, Mark, what an activist.
Officer Martin, we got you. I watched a clip, the clip they have on YouTube of the off-Broadway cast, or maybe it's a later Broadway cast. But I watched this song, and God, Mark's camera is so old and dumb. Oh, it's just like a little tiny black box with a silver lens. It's so dumb and old. It's so like, I am an artist.
Is it even old for the time?
Yes. Oh my God, it's way older than 90s.
But so it's a Super 8 camera, right?
Is
it? I think so. Uh-huh. So when my sister went to film school at USC in the 90s, they did, even though Super 8 wasn't being even made anymore, everyone used Super 8.
Yeah,
that's what you used in film school. And so they would go to these stores where they were just warehouses of like the Super 8 film that is left in the world.
Yeah.
And you'd go and you'd buy it. I assume it's bought up now and full of a bunch of student films.
My friends who were film majors had to, like, I mean, it was part of their learning, but they did have to film on film and like cut it together.
Right.
To learn
Super 8 specifically or just
film? No, just film cameras. But even though they're obviously, I'm not... When I was in college, there were digital cameras.
Mm-hmm. Right. Same.
I think.
Same. Totally. No big deal. I'm a millennial.
Yeah. Well, look, we're all millennials here.
We're all millennials.
We've all written book reports on Jurassic Park.
Did you all make the cut for millennial, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay. Phew. Mm-hmm. I just barely made it.
Yeah.
Because I graduated in 2001.
Sure. Yeah.
Phew. I did it.
Made it.
But yeah, Mark's a hipster. In the past, we've called him a little tish boy. And so,
right.
And so he's definitely, like, his camera's probably just him being.
Sorry, I've just Googled it. And it's not a
apology
Super 8.
Accepted.
Forget it's everything I said.
I think it's an older camera. It's a Bolex H8, 8mm.
Oh, okay.
Let me look up how.
Good camera.
Wow. Yeah, I have good camera.
They don't make them like that anymore.
They don't.
Yeah, go to B&H, pick up a Bolex. What was it? H8?
It's a Bolex.
H8N?
H8 8mm.
Okay.
Come on, Beth. Get with it.
And then that movie he makes with it is like, wow, good job, Mark. It's like so close-ups of all your friends nodding.
It's so bad. The homeless woman who, I guess, blanket person is the character's name. So he helps her ostensibly by being like, hey, police officers, don't hit this person. Mm-hmm. Her anger towards him is so aggressive and warranted, you know, from we find out, you know, do you have a dollar? I thought not. Then we get Angel jumping in, trying to smooth things over like Angel does.
Oh, yeah.
Easy sugar, easy. Oh, Angel.
Yeah. Also,
you don't know them, don't say sugar.
Yeah, I feel like anyone who calls someone like sugar or sweetheart, if you, first off, I don't want to be called that probably by anybody except for like, I don't know, my grandma can do whatever she wants. She could call me that. But like for a stranger to call a woman, hey, sugar, hey, sweetheart, is like, Angel, your heart's in the right place, but don't do that.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that I wouldn't do because I would be afraid of freaking somebody out. But when it happens to me, I'm like, they called me dear. That's so nice.
Depending on the circumstance,
I guess, depending upon don't mind it.
Yeah. If it's a waitress,
sometimes
a waitress in a small town, she calls me like sugar.
Yeah,
I'm like,
okay,
this is
so
nice.
I
like love
that.
This world.
Yeah. I recently, I guess maybe a year ago, I went to an audition and there was like a slightly older guy running the audition, and he came out and talked to all the people waiting to audition and said, like, you know, have we all signed in or whatever it is? And I said yes, and he said, good girl. And I
yeah, that's weird.
Almost burned the building down.
That's really, really
you don't
bad.
Know me. I am in a
yeah.
It was just so weird.
Good girl. How old was he?
I would say 50s.
And were you dressed like a dog at the time?
No, I was not dressed like a dog or a tiny child.
I had a boss one time. I got hired as a communications director for a nonprofit. And on my first day, my boss told me that one of my duties was to be a deer and take care of the orchid.
And?
Cool.
I did not take care of that orchid. It died.
So sorry, like, orchid.
Fuck you. I'll just handle this passive aggressively and not water the orchid.
That's not a good thing to say to an employee.
Yeah.
No.
Be a deer.
Be a deer and write some news releases.
I had a boss for a very long time who called me like dear sweetheart, but I loved it. And it was a woman. And so it felt fine. She was a high powered attorney and she just loved me so much and called me dear. And I was on board with it.
Yeah.
I also but you love her.
Yes.
She is your wife.
We're now married.
I also like it when strangers on the street compliment me. But, okay. But I know that other people don't. So I'm like, you probably shouldn't do this, but thank you.
Like what in what? Like any like blanket? Just you'll
nearly
take anything?
Anyway. If it's there's like a certain level of the sun in the sky where I start to be like, oh, no, it is too dark. Do not compliment me.
Yeah.
Because what
they're
if,
like, you can't see me well enough to know if I'm beautiful.
Yeah, actually, that might be part of it. This is irrational, so maybe it's leading to a crime. No, but yeah, like if I walk by a man on the street and he's like, great skirt, you know, or whatever, I'm just like, oh, look at that. My skirt's great.
Great
That's
skirt.
So nice.
That's my version of great Scott.
Great skirt. but I know that it bothers other people, so I'm always like, well, this was dicey. You came out on top this time, but probably wasn't a good call, but thank you.
But you're doing that conditioning for them that they're like, well, once every 20 people enjoys this.
I'm going to keep this doing for all of you.
Well, the worst is when you don't react and they're like, hey.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Excuse yes. me. I called you beautiful. And right. It's like, cool. You're doing a great job, dude.
Yeah.
For the most part, ignore them. Every now and then, I will turn around and be like, what's your deal?
Uh-huh.
But super rarely.
Sure. Well, it happens to me about 100 times a day. And let's see. Exhausting. 90 out of 100 times, I'm able to just ignore it. But
it's mostly your boyfriend.
I walk back and forth in front of him over and over to get compliments. yes, gosh, what else about this insane, and again, I'll call it a song, even though some might call it a track.
They're wrong. It's a song. Everything is a
song. Carrie, do you think this is a song or a track?
Oh, boy. It's a song, but tracks are also songs. What's the question?
I'll call anything a song.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, this is more music. The level of like when there's like a skit on an album.
Yeah.
Oh, Yeah, it is a purely plot advancing device.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at
but
the lyrics.
But I love a skit on an album.
You love a what?
A skit
on an album? Oh, a skit on an album. Yeah. You must love Adam Sandler.
I don't love an album of all skits, but
just a little skit.
As a young person, I'm still young. As a younger person, I loved Adam Sandler for sure.
Me too. I had a big crush on Adam Sandler. Yeah, you know, one thing that surprised me when I was looking up the lyrics is that I had always expected that the police officer was the one who said, and a Merry Christmas to your family. I figured because he was being taped that he was like, oh, you're taping me. Well, I was just saying Merry Christmas.
Oh.
And then I looked at the lyrics and was like, oh, no, it's reversed. So Mark says, smile for Ted Koppel, Officer Martin. And then
the homeless
gentleman says, and a Merry Christmas to your family. And then the police officer say, right.
Yeah.
Now I don't really understand why that happens.
Well, when they're on board with Mark. They're like helping Mark. They got his back in that moment where he's like, smile. And then this homeless guy is like piling on that.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Bet you don't want your family to see this footage.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then the blanket person is like, no, no, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, a lot goes on in this song.
Yes.
This track.
I would call this the most important song of the whole show.
Yeah, well, wow, thank you for choosing me. I see why you were like, Rachel Bloom, no. Daphne Rubin Vega, you don't get this one.
Yeah.
We're waiting. Yeah. We're waiting for Carrie.
They actually, we offered it, and they were like, it's a little bit too much pressure.
Yeah, no, I understand.
On the street?
Yeah. The famous On the Street?
That if you said On the Street to any musical theater fan in the universe, they'd be like, yeah, on the street where you live from from
Singing in the Rain.
On the street where you live is from
My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady. Yeah. Also a great song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
Big.
It's not as good as this. This is the greatest song of all musicals.
Ever since the first person sang the first note, this is the greatest song since.
It was probably this. There wasn't music before this.
Yeah, this was public domain by the time Rhett came around. So wow. Jonathan Larson was able to just plop it in.
Very few people know that,
and it fit in with the plot seamlessly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is all about Mark. We get a good part of Mark character and plot development here, and
we take Mark down a notch, which he needs,
although he sort of just goes right back to it because then his big break is the riot footage,
right? Yeah.
Or right. His big possible break, like the thing that could take his career to the next level should he be willing to sell out,
right? Yeah. And he does for a second.
Yes.
For 1 second
he does. Mark sells out. There's a lot of stuff that happens and then just doesn't happen in Rent. Deaths, people coming back to life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah. That does happen, though.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dies and comes back.
Is it time to move on to our final segment?
Yeah, that's a nice segue into our last segment, which I'm going to call, Who the Fuck Do You Think You Are?
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
This is a segment where Beth and I have a question for you, Carrie, because you are a journalist. You you investigate things. You have a very cool TED talk about thinking you had a ghost in your house.
Thank you for listening. Thank you.
It's great. It's
great.
Thanks. Wonderful.
Thank
Everybody check it out. I think it's on YouTube is where I saw it.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
It's on the internet.
It's Google on the internet. It. You guys Google it. but it's really fascinating and cool. But you don't believe ghosts exist.
Right. That's my proximate conclusion.
Yes.
I'm open-minded.
Okay.
But
okay,
so far, haven't seen evidence of any ghosts.
Then our question is, explain this.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Angel.
Okay. Oh, no.
Dies.
Angel dies.
But in the last song, Angel comes back.
Explain that. We demand
an
explanation
if
from
ghosts
you.
Don't exist.
Then how does Angel come back
how does
after
Angel
he dies?
Come back?
Okay. So I find myself in a position and I find myself in a lot where it's like, do I ruin this for you? Because you're demanding that I ruin it.
We're demanding.
Okay.
Try your best.
We want. Try your best.
We are.
Okay.
A couple of idiots. So try your best.
Okay. So
it'll be hard to convince us that Angel's not a ghost.
There are actually two kinds of stories.
Mm-hmm.
And one story is like, I met my boyfriend at the Upright Citizens Brigade, and his name is Drew. Do you see how that story is like based on a thing that really happened, and now I'm just using my voice to express to you what happened?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what we call a true story.
Okay.
Okay.
Now then,
I'm not convinced, but
there's,
go on.
There's a story that you tell with your voice is a true story.
No, okay.
Okay. Okay. You just gotta say it with your voice.
And then just stay with me. And then there's a second kind of story. So the second kind is I met my boyfriend Drew when he was riding a dragon in Zanzibar.
Congratulations.
Now, that's a fun,
that's awesome.
That's
great.
Inventive story, but I just
How's
came up
food
with
in
it.
Zanzibar?
I just thought about what might be a fun story and I just said it.
Okay.
So Rent is the second kind of story and it's what we call a fictional
story. Oh, I'm going to say this. There are no dragons in Rent, so got you there, Carrie. Well,
okay, touche.
And Rent is set in New York City, a place I've been and seen.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And the food there is good.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so there's a third kind of story. And it's where you take elements of real life and then you layer on things that don't happen.
Okay.
So maybe you can think of Rent as the third kind.
Okay.
But
I'll do that.
It can be true in your heart.
Okay.
So ghosts are in your
are true in my heart.
So the reason Angel dies and then comes back as a ghost in a later song is that Rent is the kind of story that's
the third
fictional
kind of story,
but takes some elements from the real world.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not convinced.
Do you have a more paranormal explanation for us?
Also, sometimes people die and come back because there's still brain activity in. Your body is basically an electrical machine and there's still the circuitry is still going.
Okay. So this is sort of like a Frankenstein.
Okay. So it Angel wasn't a ghost. Angel was a Frankenstein.
We okay, got it. You know what? If you that works for us. You, then it works for you. But that is true. I mean, you've probably heard about this. The people die and come back.
But actually come back. Like, this is how Mimi comes back.
Or right. Like why defibrillators
right.
work?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. So mm-hmm. yeah, you can be like, we call it medically dead, but you're not actually dead.
Sure.
It's just like,
so anyone that has come back to life using a defibrillator is mm-hmm. a Frankenstein. Just like
yeah,
Angel.
You
is
get it now. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. No, just like Mimi. Mimi just is like a Mimi. Frankenstein.
Mimi's a Frankenstein.
Angel is your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Angel,
you're getting it all.
Drew.
Yep. Drew Spears. Cardinal mm-hmm. Redbird.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Every night, Tuesday. Every Tuesday.
Every night Tuesday. Yeah. Yeah. We always forget to plug our own thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
Cardinal Redbird. Tuesday nights, 11 o'clock, UCB Franklin.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles.
Yes. You can see my boyfriend, Drew Spears.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. If he's not off riding a dragon
in Zanzibar.
Where hasn't happened.
The
I don't
food
think
is
you followed.
Pretty good.
For improvisers, you really don't understand fiction.
If you've seen our shows, this lines up perfectly with how we behave on stage at all times.
We are full idiots the entire show.
Yes.
No, that's true. I come almost every weekend. That's true.
So that's where you can see us. Carrie, where can people see or hear more of you?
Thank you for saying here. Mm-hmm. Because you recognize that most of my work is in audio. Thank you, Beth.
You really yes. turned a corner where you're just talking to us like we're very dumb. And I like it.
As well, sometimes you do work and it comes out of your mouth. People can't uh-huh. see your face. So I have two podcasts. One is much more popular than the other. The very popular one is called Ona, Ross, and Carrie, and it's an investigative journalism podcast. And then the second one that some people listen to is called Hidden Mickeys, and it's about obscure Disney shit.
Yeah. Hey, we know about niche podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Holla.
You got Disney on one hand, Rent on the other.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I told my friend Matthew as I was walking here, who loves Hidden Mickeys but hates Disney, I said, well, I'm going in to record a Rent podcast. I bet you hate Rent too. And he yeah. said, yes, but if it's a good podcast, maybe it'll change me.
Oh, I think there's something for people that hate Rent on
sure.
this.
Yeah.
There's mm-hmm. a full episode with Grant O'Brien who hates Rent.
There
so
you go.
That's mm-hmm. your entry point.
He's not going to pay.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Oh, it's
so
my pleasure.
What a pleasure.
Thank you.
This was the best. Thanks for putting up with us.
It's no problem.
Especially at the end, but probably the whole
yeah.
time.
Yes, we appreciate
likewise.
It.
Likewise.
If you can no longer put up with us, you can email us all of your angry thoughts at everythingisrentpod@gmail.com.
If you love putting up with us, why don't you rate and review us on iTunes? But only if you like us.
Yes, please. Only positive feedback. Thank you so much. You can follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Or like tag us.
Sure. Tag us.
Or DM us.
DM us.
At Everything Is Rent.
And you can follow us or at us or DM us on Twitter @everything_rent.
Thank you to Zach Reno for our music.
Thanks to James Mulholland for our art.
Thank you to Mark David Christensen for all of our everything else, engineering and producing and editing and all the other things.
And chiming in once in a while.
Yeah, he's really on a roll.
We gotta get you a mic, dude.
Hold on now.
That's all. Thanks for tuning in.
Goodbye.
Bye.
This is Patrick.
And this is Mark, co-host of Nintendo Cartridge Society.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, we're your home for all things Nintendo.
On Tuesday, we're talking about the latest Nintendo news.
And on Thursday, we're doing deep dives into specific corners of the Nintendo universe.
Ranking the Koopa Kids.
Determining who the best Smash Fighter is.
That's Nintendo Cartridge Society on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Campfire.